All right, go ahead and get your Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17 tonight. We're going to begin reading at verse number 11. Luke chapter 17, we'll begin reading at verse number 11. And this, if you've been in church any length of time, you read your Bible much, I hope you read your Bible every once in a while, this ought to be a familiar passage to you. If it's not, when we get through with it, it will be. Verse number 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The title of my message tonight is simply the question that Jesus Christ asked in verse number 17. Where are the 9? I'd like to know that myself. One fella turns back to give God the praise for taking that terrible disease of leprosy away from him. One. Where'd the other 9 go? We need to figure it out. Because I'm afraid most of you are in with the other 9. Expound the passage a little bit, then we'll get into the body of the message. You notice where we begin reading that tonight, verse number 11. The Bible tells us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he goes through Samaria and Galilee. Verse number 12, as you go down through there, you see he comes to a village. And when he's entering into this village, he meets 10 lepers, the Bible said. And the Bible says they're standing afar off. And if you know anything about leprosy, you know it's a terrible disease. And they were to remain in biblical days outside of the camp. They were to stay away from the people. He had to keep his mouth covered up. If he were to be around somebody, he'd say, I'm unclean. You were ostracized. You were isolated. Not to mention the fact that you've got a terrible disease that's rotten in your skin off. It's rotten in maybe your fingers are falling off. Your toes are falling off. It's a terrible thing if you studied anything about leprosy. Now, I want you to notice this. The Bible tells us right there, there's 10 of them. There's 10 of these lepers. Now, you know what 10 is. Now, 10 is the number of the Gentile. And we know that leprosy is a picture of sin. So I think one way for sure you can doctrinally apply this tonight is that this is like a picture of a Gentile getting saved in the church age. But I want you to notice as you go on through there, they cry to Jesus for mercy. Jesus, verse number 14, he heals them. He tells them then to go to the priest. Leviticus 14:2 tells you that that's according to the law. The priest has to pronounce a leper clean before he can get back to society. And our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has got to pronounce you clean. Amen. Amen. Just remember that. And then you get to verse number 15 and 16. Only one turns back to give God the glory. And the Bible tells us about this fellow, says he was a Samaritan. They would call him a half-breed. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The one fellow that should have been the most likely to turn back in their eyes to acknowledge God in any way is the only one who did. And then you get to verses 17 through 19, and Jesus asks a man, where are the 9? He tells him to get up and go his way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now I want you to notice what's going on here. 10 people with leprosy. They're going to die from it. And Jesus Christ comes their way. And I want you to notice, first of all, when you get to these 10 people, they had 3 things among them that were similar. three very similar things among these ten fellows. Number one, they all had the same condition. They all had leprosy. Everybody in here that's lost has the same condition. You got a sin problem. And it's killing you. There's not one of you any different than the other, from me down to the nursery. We've all have the same condition. What is our condition? We're lost. And we're going to die and go to hell if Christ doesn't intervene. If the high priest doesn't pronounce us clean. Because only He can clean us. There's no such thing as a little bit of leprosy or a lot of leprosy. You got leprosy. You got it. We got it. You say, well, I don't dip, smoke, and chew, and date girls that do, and I've never drank any liquor and run around on anybody and all that kind of a mess. Let me tell you something. Smoking cigarettes and dipping stuff and drinking liquor has never busted one church up that I've been a part of. It's you Christian that get on the phone and get on Facebook and run your mouth in the church. I don't care that you ain't never drank no liquor. You run your mouth. You got a tongue as long from here to that door. Bless God. You're the one hindering revival. You keep on bragging about how much liquor you don't drink, and I never smoked any dope, and I don't run around on my wife and all that kind of stuff, and then you raise hell and get stuff stirred up behind the scenes. That's what's going to hinder revival. Just a little side note for you. So they all had the same condition. Number two, I'll tell you something that was similar with all of them. They all made the same cry. Look there in verse number 13. It says, they lifted up their voices, it's plural, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Do you know what the cry was? They cried to Jesus to have mercy on them in their condition of leprosy. Everybody in here that's ever got saved, that's what you did. You realized you had a condition. You realized that you were dying of sin. And you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And He saved you. That's the next thing. They all had the same condition. They all made the same cry. And thank God they all got the same cleansing. There's your little three-point outline. Maybe they'll let you turn that into the Institute. Verse number 14. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Thank God tonight I'm cleansed. Anybody in here can testify? Well, come on. Anybody in here been cleansed? You had a condition. You had a condition. You cried out. God cleansed you. Oh, hallelujah. You had leprosy and He's taking it away. You're not going to hell anymore. Brother Jared and them, they play a song they sing all the time on Final Fight Radio. I'm not going to hell. Man, that's a good song. Amen. That's a good one. But then, one fella. I can't get this, Brother David. I can't get this. I'm walking around. I'm a nobody. I'm a zero. I'm a loser. I'm in agony. Nobody don't want to fool me. I got to say, unclean, unclean. Don't even look at my mouth. They say, you got to live over here. You ain't living with us. We don't want your kind around us. And all that's going to do is you're going to simply rot to death one day. And a man just comes to me and heals me. And you mean to tell me, can't but one fella out of ten of them come back and praise God? Can't but one out of ten of them come back and say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you. One out of ten. I don't understand that. Jesus said, where are the nine? I'm going to tell you what this really matches. I believe this has a lot of this number ten and... And I think you can put a lot of this in the church. I think you can put a lot of this right now in modern day Christianity. This absolutely matches modern day Christianity. This matches people that have been saved, by the blood of the Lamb. They have been saved by spiritual leprosy. But if you've been in the church any length of time, if you've been a pastor, you've been a preacher, if you're halfway plugged in and got any knowledge of what's going on, you may get one out of every 10 Christians that will ever amount to anything for God. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they don't show up to church every once in a while. I'm not talking about putting a little bit in the plate. I'm talking about really just selling out, getting in the cause, brother. Getting behind the cause, getting in the team. You know what you're going to find out? About 1 out of 10 of that crowd's ever going to amount to anything. I'll tell you something else. You apply to a church. I don't even know if you get 1 out of every 10 churches. The churches are shocked. And it's full of people that have been saved. I know we got lost people in the churches, but in Bible-believing churches, I hope the gospel's being preached. I don't think we just got churches full of lost people in Bible-believing churches. But even in Bible-believing churches, about one out of ten churches is really what you could say wants to do something for God. Me and Brother Jared have been talking about this. We talk together and we pray and we talk about what we're doing, and we're closely knitted. Get to do revivals together. I think the Lord puts us together to do that. We work well with one another. We love one another. And I tell you, this church is very different than many of the churches we go in and preach in. There is something already starting to happen that has been happening before we ever got here. The thing is, it's just sort of like it's hovering. And there's a little heat there, and there's some coals burning. And that fire is smoldering, and it's just like like on the verge of taking off, just like that. How you like that? I just like doing that. Really, really. I'm talking about going to the next level. I'm talking about taking off. I'm talking about getting some good revival, as much as you're gonna get nowadays. I'm talking about something happening here. So I want to. He didn't have no idea. We talked to each other today about what we was going to preach. He got here a while ago. He said, "Brother, everything I told you," he said, "I'm preaching something different." I said, "Me too." Remember that thing I told you I was going to preach? It's obviously, you know now, this is not it. Amen. Amen. So where do they go? Jesus says, "Where are they? Where do the other 9 go? Why didn't they come back with you?" Well, the Bible doesn't say exactly where they go, but I want to interject my opinion. I'll tell you where I believe they went. One of 3 places, or maybe they went all 3 places. You know what I think? I think it's the same 3 places that maybe many of you are tonight. Maybe you'll leave those places. Maybe you'll come out. And maybe you can say, "Well, there's 2 of you now. Where's the other 8? Well, there's 4 of you now. Where's the other 6? Well, there's 5 of you. I mean, half of you showed up. That's pretty good nowadays." I think the more of you that'll get in here and get behind the cause, the more likely this thing is of taking off. Amen? Let me tell you these 3 quick things. 3 quick places I think they might have went. Here we go. Number 1, I think possibly they just went to the land of forgetfulness. They went to the land of forgetfulness. You say, "What are you talking about? That's not in the Bible." No, it absolutely isn't. I just think they just forgot in a big hurry when they went into this land, and they turned and they said, "We ain't going back to Jesus." And they started walking off. I think they went into a land where they forgot in a big hurry that they were dying, that they were hurting, that they were ostracized, that they were alone, and they had no hope. When I think about hell, the thing that bothers me the worst is not reading about the flames, but it's reading about the fact that the flames, as the Bible says, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. The worst thing to me about hell is absent of any hope. And when you and I were one of these 10 lepers, we were absent of any hope. And God saves us and He changes us and He makes her whole life new. And we are so quick to forget that, Brother David. We are so quick to forget what we used to be. We are so quick to forget what He's done. We forget how good He's been to us. I watched Brother Jared do something real good today. Brother David saw it. Little Jack, the waitress at the restaurant, was waiting to get us in. She came out and gave little Jack some of them Goldfish crackers. He did get some today, didn't he? Come in. Come in. While we were waiting. And she gave them to him. And I know Jack was just a little astonished because he was like, man, I'm getting something nobody else is. And he just looked at her. And Brother Jerry said, say thank you. And he was just looking at her. Brother Jerry said, this ain't going to work. He got him up, had Jack go into the restaurant, go to that waitress to tell her, thank you that you thought about us out here and brought me these little golden fish crackers. You know what? He was saying, you're not going to let this lady do this for you and you not tell her thank you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, because that's leading into my next point. I believe not only have they went to the land of forgetfulness, they went to the land of unthankfulness. And I don't... People are not even thankful anymore. They're not thankful for their health. They're not thankful for their money, their family, their salvation. They're not. It's just not a big deal to them. Let me tell you what I believe I've discovered. The longer I'm in the ministry and the more I read this Bible, the more I realize how big a deal unthankfulness is in the life of a Christian. Have you ever read that thing closely over there in Romans chapter 1? It's going out. Listen, long before you get down there where you read about the fellas turn over to a reprobate mind and he's a sodomite and everything else, you better go up a few verses above that. That thing started with a fella being unthankful. That's where it started. You know what we have a church full of people? We have a church full of people that are spoiled. God's given us everything. I guess they're tired of the whining. You know, it's just too cold, or it's too hot, or I don't like this, and I don't like that. Why don't you do this, and why don't you do that? And I'm thinking, and why don't you shut up? I could care less what you want. Why don't even somebody just come to church and say, boy, it is hot. I am a little hormonal. I am a little hot today. At least I'm hot in church. Amen. Why don't somebody just come to church and say, hey man, I'm cold, I'm freezing, but you know what? I can put me a jacket on. I'm just glad I got a church to get into. I'm glad I got a Bible to read. I'm happy and thankful I've got a pastor to preach to me. I'm just so thankful I'm in a Bible-believing church where there's a little excitement generated every once in a while. We're on the right road. We're heading the right way. I don't have to move my family 1,000 miles away. God put me right here where a good work is. He saved me. He's given me something. I have something to eat today. Amen. I went to the cupcake shop today. Praise God. I got a Boston cream cupcake. It felt like it weighed a pound. Had that Boston cream stuff shot in it. Then it had about that thick of chocolate on it. I think that's one reason right now I'm not remembering things as well up here. My sugar. Amen. This thing seems a little scattered in here. But yeah, that's right. Type 2 diabetics are not supposed to be eating cupcakes. That's it. Amen. Amen. The land of unthankfulness. We're just unthankful. How in the world could a man be so unthankful that God just come into his life and change his whole world around, and he says, hey, I'm gone. I got what I wanted. Yeah. Oh, it's just like some of you Christians. Come on. You got your fire insurance. Yeah. Calls? Calls? What calls? Who cares about the calls? Yeah. I'm not going to hell. That's all that matters. Yeah. I'm not worried about I know Jesus died for me, and that's a pretty good thing He did, but quit dwelling on the negative. Let's just think about the positive. I'm saved. There's a general unthankfulness. You know why? We are spoiled here in America. We're rotten to the core. We're not thankful for nothing. I know that these nine that got saved were not thankful, because if you were really thankful, they'd all done like the other fella did. The old half-breed. The old one that wasn't supposed to do anything for God. The one that did do something. He turned back around and he said, "Thank you, praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." But you don't do that. You don't. We're not thankful. I think that these nine went to the land of forgetfulness. I think they went to the land of unthankfulness. And I think they went to the land of self-centeredness. I think they did not return to Christ because they were too busy trying to get back into the camp. They were like, "Hey man, look, I'm clean. No open sores." The priest said, "You good?" "Come back in with us. Come on." "What happened?" "Oh man, some fella down the road there, he him. Anyway, don't worry about all that. I'm back. I've been wanting to get back with everybody. Where's the party at tonight? You seen any chicks lately? You know, chicks ain't been getting close to me lately." Amen. They just, for whatever reason it is, they put up with a lot, but not leprosy. Amen. "Let's go party. Let's go riding around." Yeah. "Yeah, okay, okay, okay. We're glad you're back. But tell us a little bit about what what is that? Look, I'm back. I know. Some guy, I don't know. He come up and he healed us. And then we all left. We're here. We're ready to party." You know, that one dude, Samaritan, you would know it would be a Samaritan. He's back there hollering and screaming and carrying on about something. But we're here. We're ready to go, man. You know what's wrong with you? You can't remember what God's done for you. You ain't worth shooting for Jesus Christ because you're self-absorbed. Just want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. You ain't got a lick of time for God, the man that saved your soul from hell. Because it's all about what you want to do. That's where they went. We're too busy trying to live it up in the world. We're too busy doing our thing. I'm not worried about the calls. I'm not worried about telling Jesus I appreciate Him. I'm not worried about sticking around and saying, "Lord, I'm thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for healing me. And Lord, you gave me my life back. You gave me my life back. Is there anything you'd like for me to do?" But I tell you how it is, brother. It's just like this thing we're reading here tonight. About 9 out of every 10 that come up here, they'll come up and get saved, or you lead them to the Lord out on the street or whatever, and they might come to church once or twice, and they might even get baptized. Then the FBI can't find them. They're just missing off the face of the earth. You say, where they went? I told you, just told you where they went. They went on vacation. Some of them went to the land of forgetfulness. Some of them got them a ticket and flew out over there to the land of unthankfulness. And many of them just got on a greyhound and went to the land of self-centeredness. And some of them making a round trip, bless God, they in all of them. And that's why our churches ain't worth shooting. And that's why the average Christian ain't worth shooting. Now, statistics are statistics because that's what happens. But you know, you have Jesus Christ in you if you've been saved, and you don't have to be a statistic. The statistics say that if I got 100 people in this building, and it looks like that, I don't know how many we got here tonight, maybe around 100 or so, that means about 10 of you are going to be sold out. And 90 of you ain't. And I believe that statistic could pretty much hold in just about every church. Now maybe it won't. I hope that's not right here. I hope it's not right, but it's probably not far from it. And you say, well, what do you say? What should I do? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You done walked away, and the one fella's over here praising the Lord, and the one fella's over here sticking around with the Lord, and the one fella's trying to get close to the man that healed him. And you ought to walk that way, and you ought to stop and think about it. If the preaching of the Word of God, if the Holy Ghost is touching any single person in this church tonight and dealing with your heart, stirring you up, you ought to say, I'm fixing to stop. We're going to this land where it's all about me. I'm fixing to stop with being so unthankful and so unappreciative of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm fixing to stop with this business about just thinking about me. I'm going to think about what that first preacher said, that there is a cause, and I'm going to turn around and I'm walking right back to that man that healed me of my leprosy. And I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to make a great big deal out of that man for what he done for me. And I'm going to look up in his eyes tonight and I'm going to say, I don't know if any of that other bunch is going to turn around and come with me, but I'm here tonight. And I'm telling you, I want to be one of them Christians that appreciates what you've done. And I don't forget what you've done, and I want you to use me. I want to be part of the cause. I want to be a Christian, and I want this church not to be like the rest of this junk around us. And Jesus Christ is asking this question tonight. Where are the nine? Why are there so few of you that care? When I've done the same thing for all of you. All of you were in the same pitiful shape. All of you experienced the same grace of God. All of you got the same salvation. And only one out of ten of you even cares. Even appreciates it. Even ever going to try to do something with it. If God has spoken to your heart tonight and spoken to you as a church, I pray you get on your knees and crawl down this altar tonight and say, God, help me to turn back to you and be where I'm supposed to be. At your feet saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What you want me to do? Every head bowed and eye closed.